John chapter 9. We're going to continue to talk about this blind man that Jesus healed. And last week we talked very extensively about the story and just how, you know, God's work needed to be done. And Jesus said, I'm going to do it no matter what you think. And no matter what the rules are as far as these things that the Pharisees were fussing about. He said, I've got this. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And you understand that ought to be our focus, right? And so today, as we kind of talk about this thing and don't let anybody try to talk you out of your testimony. Don't let anybody try to talk you out of what happened to you. As we look at the story here, we're going to begin in verse 6. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, we'll read responsively, starting in verse 6, all the way down through verse 18. And you read with me out loud on the even verses. I'll read by myself on the odd verses as we go through this passage of Scripture, beginning together in verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him, but he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees a him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Well, here we are again talking about this blind man. And today we're really going to look a little bit more at the blind man himself and his unwavering testimony. I hope that you noticed a few of the things that we spoke about as we read through the scriptures here. As Jesus had this encounter with this man, we know that Jesus was passing by and he saw this man, which was blind from his birth. Of course, the disciples asked an interesting question. They said, Master, who was the one that sinned that this man has this problem? Did he sin or did his parents sin? Now, if you think about that for just a second, I hope that you think about the little things in scriptures. All right. And don't be too hard on the apostles at this time. But boy, they're really dumb. I mean, think about it. Okay, for just a second, think about it. He was a man that was born blind. Okay? So he was born that way. In other words, he would have had to have sinned. Okay. Hello? They really shouldn't have asked that question anyways in the first place. Okay? So anyhow. But they asked the question and Jesus, of course, said, no, this is not the case at all. But this is done so that God can be made manifest in this man. So this was all something that God had already laid out in the fabric of time. He knew that this man was going to be born blind. He knew that he was going to grow up begging. He knew that he was going to do this. He knew that in the fullness of time, His son was going to come. He was going to be born. He's going to live a life and he was going to enter into the ministry. He's going to be walking by this man's path at this time, even on the Sabbath day. Hello. Remember, I've said to you recently, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Okay? Not a coincidence. Divine appointment. Jesus said, hey, this man, his sufferings, this difficulty, all of this has happened so that God can be made manifest in this man's life. Can I just draw a quick connect the dots here for us? Your life, your circumstances, everything that has transpired in your life is so that God can be made manifest in you. It's not a mistake. It's not a happenstance. It's not a coincidence. God wants to be made manifest in you. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So he had thus spoken in verse 6, and he spat on the ground, and he made the clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Okay, very simple encounter, right? Not a lot of conjecture, not a lot of dialogue here. The man didn't say, well, excuse me, sir, is this non-GMO clay? And do you have any diseases? And would you sign this waiver? Okay, none of those things happened, right? You say, well, how is all this supposed to work? Is there some miracle, compound in this clay? It should suffice that the spit from the Son of God would do well enough. You know, I mean, that would work for me. There were no questions, right? There was no scientific study done, and there was no argumentation of, well, will this work? Will this won't work? No, Jesus made the clay, put it on his eyes, told him to go wash. He washed. Cut and dry. Very simple. Now, and if you will, non-theological. You know, a lot of times Jesus would tell people to go and sin no more, right? He didn't even tell this guy any of that stuff. So think about this. All this man does is he has this encounter with the Lord, and Jesus comes across his path, right? You understand that? And this man, he wasn't even like blind Bartimaeus, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I mean, he didn't even know, really, this man really didn't know who this guy was. And it's a very cut and dry, very simple encounter. In verse 8, as he comes back seeing, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. So here we have a first encounter here about this. I'm using that word a lot for some reason. That just hit my brain. We have this record of this first question and this first concern about his testimony. He says, no, I'm him. His neighbors and the people that were around him his whole life, some of them said, is this him? Could you imagine someone questioning your identity? That was your neighbor? That grew up with you? Why did they question if it was him? Because he could see. And he couldn't see before. And that can't happen. Can I tell you something? Back in that day, it's not like it is today, where they have some of these technological advancements that can help people, like Anna, you were what? How old were you? Like three? So, or I think you were like, it was your third birthday. I got LASIK on her birthday, basically, 15 years ago. Can I tell you, what a wonderful thing? No, it's not for everybody, but for me, it's been wonderful, okay? And you know what? I'm like the blind man, I could see. Before LASIK, this is where I could read words. Okay, that's it. 401 eye, minus 401 eye, minus 425 in the other eye. I mean, I'm pretty severely nearsighted. Okay? But can I tell you something? When I had LASIK surgery, even through the foggy, crusty, Band-Aid contact thingies they put on my eyes, I had never seen that clear that I could remember. It was amazing. I mean, it was just... It was instantaneous. Even as they were, when I had the surgery, I told about it to the kids, and they were being all grossed out. Because they don't put you under all the way. How many of you have gone through LASIK? Anybody? A few of you? Okay, yeah. I thought it was a cool experience. I loved it. And you know, this and there, and the laser's coming across going, you know, and you can smell the cells, eye cells burning and everything. It was cool. I thought it was, you're like, you nuts. But even as they were peeling back those flaps and whatever the doctor was doing, I could actually see the different levels of vision clearing up. It was really neat. I don't know what this guy felt as he was washing there the clay and, you know, anyways, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get back to the message. So, some of them doubted because this was an impossibility. People didn't just get back their sight. There were no LASIK doctors. There were no, none of these things existed that could help people like that back in those days. So they said, well, maybe it's his doppelganger, right? Maybe it's his double, his twin. This is the guy that looks like him, but this guy can see, and the guy that we know can't see. So they doubted his identity. They doubted his testimony. And can I say to you folks today, listen, as we have our experience with Jesus Christ, some people are going to doubt our identity. Because what results in because of salvation? A changed life. We sing at camp the little song, "The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again." Yeah. And some are going to say, well, you know, that looks like old Eric, but doesn't act like old Eric. So is that him? I don't know. But he said, no, I'm he. You know, sometimes we say, oh no, you're right. That's not me. We go undercover, right? You've heard the term undercover Christians, right? We don't want people to know that our lives have been changed. Because we're afraid of the kickback. We're afraid of persecution. We're afraid of what's going to happen. This man wasn't afraid. And really, as far as we know in Scripture, his salvation experience didn't happen until verse 36, where he says, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" But he did meet with Jesus. And he was just telling the truth. He just said, no, I'm him. And after he admits to who he is, therefore they said unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" Now he didn't make up some story, right? There's this mysterious light. And there was a beam of light. And these aliens abducted me and took me up into their spaceship and... No. That was supposed to be comic relief there. Okay. You're like, that really happened to me. Okay, I'm sorry. All right. No, he said, no, there was this guy. He said, this man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, "Go unto the pool of Siloam and wash." And I went and washed and I received my sight. That's it. He didn't change the story, right? He didn't embellish it. He just said, this is what happened. Folks, can I tell you something? Your testimony of your salvation is enough. You say, I don't know what to do to be a witness for Christ and to tell people about Christ. Just tell them what happened to you. Why has there been a change in your life? Well, hey, I met Jesus. I realized I was a sinner. And because of my sin, I was destined for a place called hell. And I turned from all that and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and He saved me. Folks, it doesn't have to be special. I probably have been guilty of this. I try not to say this, but I probably have said it because it's something that's often said. Have you ever heard somebody say, when they're talking about giving a testimony of them being able to lead someone to the Lord that they know or that they've met or etc., and they say, boy, that person really got saved. I try so hard not to say that. Because did the other ones not really get saved? Or they kind of got saved? I mean, what's the other alternative there? I don't know. Okay? They'll tell the story and someone will trust Christ and they'll say, yeah, and they got saved. And then someone else will tell the story and, oh yes, as soon as they heard about sin and the depths of sin, they broke down crying and they used a whole box of tissues and the whole room was crying and boy, that person really got born again. Does the emotion matter in this? Okay, the greater your level of emotion during salvation means the greater salvation that you have, right? No. No, not at all. Now, there are all different kinds of responses, right? But this man just kept it simple. He didn't change the story. He just said, hey, he told me to do this. He did this to me. I went out and watched, and boom, I received my sight. In verse 12, it says, then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. He's like, I came back. He's not here. I don't know where he is. And guess what? Doesn't really matter where he is. All I know is what's happened to me. All I know is that I was blind from birth. As far back as I can remember, my parents know the rest of it. Well, the time that I can't remember. I've always been blind. But now I can see. That's all I know. And I just know his name. He goes down further and they brought him to the Pharisees. And it was a Sabbath day, we know this, and now the Pharisees are getting involved, and they asked him again how he received his sight. He told them the same story. He put clay on mine eyes, I washed, and I see. He's not changing his story, folks. And he went through and he says all these things, and now they begin to debate about Jesus and whether or not he's really of God or not, because, you know, a man that's of God wouldn't break the Sabbath day. So this man can't be of God. And in verse 17, they say unto him again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. Now, first he said his name is Jesus. He's a man called Jesus. Now he says he's a prophet. Why did this man seemingly change his story, or did he really change his story? No, here he added an opinion. Okay, he's a prophet. Why did this man say he was a prophet? Because he prophesied that he would receive his sight. And what happened? He received his sight. Okay? Did this man hear any of Jesus' teachings? Not that we know of. He barely knew his name. You understand? And he said, go to the pool and wash. And that's what he told him to do. And guess what? The man saw. So this guy said, well, he's not just some guy called Jesus. He must be a prophet. Because a miracle was done in my life. You understand that he stays true to what he believes as far as this man. So then he goes on, he says this, but the Jews did not believe him. They said, well, let's call his parents and see about this matter. And so they call his parents, And I want you to look at this in verse 19 and 20. It says this, and they asked him, saying, "Is this your son whom ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means now he seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. Now I want you to notice the contrast here. But before we get to that, let's talk about this. Do you think his parents were excited of what happened to this man? You think that mama had been praying for years and years and years for her boy? Absolutely. That's a mama's heart, right? They would have been ecstatic. But because of fear, they didn't want to say anything. Now, we know this man wasn't afraid. He just spoke the truth. That's the kind of testimony we have. Don't let somebody try to change what's happened to you. Don't let them try to take away what's happened to you. Listen, I this didn't happen to the parents, but here's what the parents probably should have done. They should have said, "You know what? Whatever happened to our son, that's what happened to him. We're excited that whoever this man was, we're glad of what he's done." But yet, they were afraid. I think of it this way. A lot of times we'll take kids to camps or conferences, and they'll get saved. And they'll come home and to a non-Christian home type situation. Maybe it's a bus kid. Maybe it's someone in our church that's just associated with our church, not necessarily members. But maybe it's a lost home or a difficult home situation, and they'll just throw cold water on everything that's happened to that kid because they're afraid. Changed our kid. What if it changes us? They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid what was going to happen. Hey, listen, these Pharisees, they wielded all kinds of power. You understand that? They were the most powerful non-governmental type piece here. You know, these are the rulers of the Jews. Even though Rome was in charge of the area, these Pharisees had all the power. And listen, that's what they were afraid of Jesus taking away from them in the first place. But you have to understand that these parents, they were afraid of, so they said, "You know what? He's in this mess. Let him figure it out. Go ask him. Leave us out of this." You know what? In our lives, we need to be active in our testimony, not passive. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear take away your testimony. I'm going to guess that because of this man, after he later on was able to experience salvation, I'm pretty convinced that his parents also were able to be saved. That's just a gut feeling I have. Okay, that's my opinion. I told you I'd tell you when something's my opinion. All right? Why? Because of how they loved their son. You know they were ecstatic about what happened in his life. I would have liked to have seen them stand up for him in the face of these that were trying to intimidate this man. But regardless, let's move on as they call him again in verse 24. "Then again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." Okay, so now they're trying to use their expertise to sway this man's testimony. Because who are the religious experts? They are. Who knows the God of Israel? They do. They said, hey, give God the praise because this man is not of God. This man, this Jesus, this man you call a prophet, is not of God. He's a sinner. I love what the man said. Hey, whether or not he's a sinner, I know not. Let me get what it says there. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Are we willing to stand in our testimony and say, look, I'm not going to pretend to know all the mysteries of God and salvation and the Bible, but I do know that He saved me. I do know what I've experienced in salvation. That's why we ask people, do you know that you know that you know that you've been born again? Salvation is a know-so thing. It's not a hope-so thing. Our world today and religion today wants to make it a hope-so thing. Why? So they can have control of you. They can't have control of you if you've been liberated. Right? Yeah. They can't. So they got to keep you under oppression. That's why you may have heard this in history as you study about the King James Bible. In certain churches, they would actually chain the Bible to the pulpit. Because it was only for those of the priestly order to read. And that the common person couldn't read and understand the Word of God. What a joke. That's not real. That's not true. What did they want? They wanted control. You understand that we've got to fight against that. We've got to stand up in the face of that and speak the truth. He says, at this point in his life, he did not exactly know who this Jesus was. He only knew his name, and he perceived that he was a prophet because of what miracle had been accomplished in his life. And he looks at him and says, look, I'm not going to take your word for it. If he's a sinner, so what? He's a sinner. If he's not a sinner, why does that matter to me? All I care about is I was blind and now I can see. They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. But we are Moses' disciples. If you go back and read chapter 8, you know how that worked out. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, here we go, testimony again. Why herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. He gives a little nudge here. I love this. He's a little prickly here. It's okay to be a little prickly. I'm a little prickly sometimes. He's like, okay, all you smart guys, how come you don't know about him if he's doing these miracles? He says, now we know that they answer back and they said, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, he was not heard for that any man to open the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So this man knows a little bit. He's kind of smart. He gets it. And then they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now this is what his parents were afraid of, right? I'm sure they were good members of the synagogue. I'm sure they were upstanding people. And this is what they were afraid of. We see in verse 34, pride rearing its ugly head. Right? You know that these men were convicted. You know that what this man said was true. Jesus heard about it in verse 35. And he found him and he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Don't you see his openness here? He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. This is just such a great story. But it's also a lesson for us concerning our testimony and what's happened to us through Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is of no merit. We talked about that. Salvation is a decision. We hear the Word of God, we believe it by faith, and we receive eternal life. It's really that simple. What does the Bible say? "And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It's not complex. It's a simple experience that God can be manifest in us. And all we have to do is stand up to the questions. Stand up to those that question what's happened to us. Are you willing to live your life just by telling the truth? But just by saying, "This is what happened to me." Our salvation is not based on whether we're a good witness or a poor witness, right? Our salvation is not based on whether we have a good testimony or a poor testimony. We have salvation. This man had his sight. Was his sight based on whether or not he told the truth about Jesus, the man that healed him? No, it wasn't. If with the first group that asked him these questions, if he'd have said, "I don't know, I just went over to the pool and washed, and my sight came to me," would he have lost his sight? I don't see anything that indicates that he would have. If he'd have stood up in front of the Pharisees and said, "You know what? Yeah, this man is a sinner. I'm going to give God the praise, and y'all make me a Pharisee now that I can see." Because, you know, that's part of being a Pharisee. You have to be able to see. That was a bad pun. He couldn't be a blind Pharisee. I'm glad you like that. Thank you. No, if he'd have done that, would he have lost his sight? No, I don't think so. There's no merit involved. We have a testimony. David writes in Psalm 66, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." In Psalm 71, David again writes and says, "Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, of even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Are we going to be able to have such backbone and such boldness as this blind man? And think about this. He did all of this even before salvation came to him. What excuse do we have? And we're doing this after salvation has come to us. I love the account in Scripture of the man, the maniac, if you will, of Gadara. We understand that, you know, he was in the tombs there, the chains and fetters, and he was naked, right? And he was out of his mind and a lunatic and just insane, right? Everybody was afraid of this guy. It's because he was possessed of the devil. We know that Jesus healed him and cast out the devils and into the swine, and right, and the pigs, they ran off the cliff there and died. And then the owners said, "Jesus, get out of here, right? We don't want you here." Because they lost all of their way of living there. In chapter 5 of Mark, in verse 18, he says, "And when he was coming to the ship," he was leaving, "he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not." Listen, is it wrong to want to be with Jesus? I mean, this man had just been delivered from this awful life. And Jesus says, "No. No, I don't want you to come with me." He said, "I've got something for you to do." He said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. God commands us to be witnesses. I won't read to you the entirety of Ephesians chapter 2, but you understand that God is, who's rich in mercy, He's given us salvation. We were dead in our sins. He's quickened us together with Christ. He's raised us up together, and He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There's a purpose for us. What is it? So that God can be manifested in our lives. Remember, before this even happened, Jesus told His disciples, "This man is blind. He's going to be able to see because God wants to be manifested in his life." And the man himself didn't even know that was going to be the case. But yet time after time after time, he stayed true to his testimony. He didn't waver in what he had to say. We, as God's children, should not waver in our testimony. When people ask you about your life, what are you going to tell them? I love it when people, and this happened on a few occasions, even when I'm not wearing a suit, people say, "Are you a pastor?" That just sends warm fuzzies all through my body. And it's not because of pride, really, it's not. I'm just tickled somebody noticed. And I'm just like, well, praise God, I finally did something right for once in my life, that somebody noticed that God is my Savior. That I'm different. Now, a lot of people notice that I'm different for other reasons, but they should. People noticed a difference. He was blind, now he could see. And they asked him about it. He just told them the truth. Are you willing to tell the truth? Are you willing to be like David? Are you willing to be like this man of Gadara and go publish it out throughout the world? We know Paul was not one to shy away from conflict. Over and over again, across his journeys in the known world, he preached with boldness his testimony. Not afraid of anybody. He even took on the Athenians. The smart guys. Right? The lovers of wisdom and knowledge. And he went up there to their temple, and he saw the inscription, right? "To the unknown God. Him declare I unto you." And some believed. Some scoffed. Some said, we'll hear you another time. He didn't change his story. As he's standing before Agrippa and Felix, we know that he was not, by his own testimony, not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. What are they going to say about you when you stand firm of your testimony? You're nuts. A bunch of fairy tales. I had a guy yesterday as we were out soul winning. Aiden was with me. Hey, Aiden. He said he believes all the religions. That all religions are equal. And all religions lead to God. Okay. I said, how is that the case? Because if I look at Islam, and I look at Christianity, and I look at Hinduism, and I look at Buddhism, and all the other isms out there, I don't see how they match up. How can they all lead to the same God? That's a pretty weird God. That's a God that doesn't know which way is up. I don't think I want to believe in that kind of God. Are we going to stand and allow others to call us nuts? Crazy? Cast us out like this man was cast out? Or what are we going to allow to steal our testimony away? This man did not allow anything to take his testimony from him. We should stand firm. We have the truth in Christ Jesus. Remember what Jesus said as he came to the coasts of Caesarea Philippi? He asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that our explanation? Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that they would receive power. Are you testifying of the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit of God? You have the ability to stand before these people that question you. You don't have to do it alone. He's with you. He'll not leave you. He'll not forsake you. Don't do it in the strength of the flesh. Do it in the strength of the Spirit. God is with us. As he was cast out of the presence of the Pharisees, Jesus found him and saved his soul. You understand that the Lord is with us? He's promised that he'll be with us. He's promised us the power. He's promised us these things. Isn't that enough for us to take a stand? And if I can borrow the phrase from Ephesians chapter 6, we need to do all to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Don't let anybody take your testimony from you. We need to stand up and proclaim it. You need to be ready to give an answer to any man of the hope that is within you. Are you born again today? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? If so, take a stand. Tell the truth. Don't change your story. Don't let some, not for fear, not for influence, not for anything. I'm the one Jesus saved. I'm the one that was blind and now I can see. Oh yeah, this man, his name is Jesus. He's a prophet. Oh yes, yeah, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I can see. And by the way, you don't have to grill the others, but this guy threw a little fire under there. That's all right. He was just pushing back a little bit. Because I'm sure he kind of sensed their attitude. But are we willing to take a stand?